Big news this week in Detroit art circles. Ishmael Ahmed has been appointed to the National Council on the Arts. It's an advisory board that plays an important role in nationwide arts infrastructure. Ishmael's a man of many hats. He's done several kinds of nonprofit work, among them being part of the team that founded the Arab American Museum in Dearborn. He's been a key player in the annual Concert of Colors. That's a showcase of musicians both from Detroit and global touring acts. This year's show is set for the first week in August. And he has a weekly music show on WDET called This Island Earth. Seriously, does this guy even have time for the president? Just kidding. If anyone can multitask, it's Ishmael Ahmed. Ishmael Ahmed, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can I just ask first, after this brutal year for the arts, how are you feeling emerging from the pandemic? You know, you're kind of a constant presence at events around town. What's it going to be like for you to be out there?
Well, first of all, I had COVID after I got the inoculations, and so did my wife. In fact, I was hospitalized. So it'll be good to get out there. And we're already now, it's a couple months since then, and we're starting to get out a little bit. You know, everybody's being careful. So,
can I just ask, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm fully recovered, and so is my wife, and a couple of my kids had it as well. So, but we're all good. And it's, I will be happy when we can do a lot of the stuff that we're doing live. The whole point of things like the Concert of Colors is to bring together people from different races, religions, genders, and backgrounds to enjoy each other's company. So virtual is good. Last year, we had 162,000 people check out the Concert of Colors, but I'd rather have the 30,000 we have every year where we can all celebrate together.
That's really terrifying that you were sick and hospitalized even after you got vaccinated. Are you feeling like it was worth getting the shots?
Oh, yeah. I have multiple problems. I won't go through the list, but I think had I not been inoculated, you know, I probably wouldn't have made it. So, you know, I'm super happy about all that.
So as I mentioned just a moment ago, you were just appointed to the National Council on the Arts. How did you find out about this? Is it a thing where they call you to check in first or just say, okay, this is happening?
Oh, no, it wasn't that simple. To be honest, I pursued it thanks to a friend in the National Endowment who suggested that I did. And then Andy Levin and a whole bunch of the Michigan delegation kind of went after it. So after about a month or two, I received a phone call inviting me to apply.
Do you feel like Detroit and Midwestern cities of this size have had much representation on the council in years past?
Actually not. The Midwest, with one or two exceptions, has not had representation on the board. I think Aaron Dworkin is the only person I know from the Detroit area. He lives in Ann Arbor, was on the board. So other than that, I don't think so.
Right. He's a U of M faculty member and founder of the Sphinx competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great person. As is his wife, Afa Dworkin, who runs Sphinx.
You said that this was something that you wanted to pursue. Can you say more about why?
That board helps to determine art policy and art investment for the United States. And I really would like to see more money go to smaller and middle-sized art presenters and artists. And I also think that they could invest more greatly in the communities of color. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that the entire arts budget of the National Endowment, which is the largest federal provider of money to the arts, is only $150 million. Uganda spends more than that on the arts. So I really think that the arts are really, really important to invest in. And we could do a better job of that. You know, I actively pursue doing it. So it'll be interesting. And I think just looking at the people that they have appointment, people like Jake Shimaturo, who is a...
Jake Shimabukuro, yeah, the ukulele.
Yep, and several others. I think, you know, these people will make a difference as well on policy.
This is an incredible list of people. You've got the executive producer of the Apollo, Camilla Forbes, and Fiona Prine, who is a big advocate for folk music and head of Oh Boy Records. She's also, of course, the widow of the late great singer-songwriter John Prine. I mean, this is, are you guys actually going to all physically meet at some point, or will it mostly be Zoom meetings in this role?
I imagine that as soon as it's possible, we will meet. Usually they meet a couple times in Washington and then one or two other places in the country.
Ishmael, when you talk about the concerns of small to mid-sized arts groups, this is a really long-standing and kind of thorny conversation within the arts, because large arts organizations, major museums, major performing arts groups say, we are job creators. You know, we bring thousands of people into our spaces every year, pre-pandemic. We engage thousands of people every year in many different ways. And yet smaller arts organizations traditionally and generally get smaller slices of public money and the philanthropic pie. What do you foresee changing if that balance does change?
Well, I don't think it's a case of redividing the pie. I think the pie has to be bigger. $150 million into the arts for the entire country is pitiful. And I think that board needs to, as others, need to lobby for more money to be put into the arts so that we can raise the value of what large providers or presenters and small presenters are able to do. We literally are the smallest investing country in the world. Sweden, Canada, all of them invest more in the arts. And I really think if there's good economic argument for that, as well as a, you know, a moral argument here as well. And I think that's true too of the communities of color. The amount invested in those communities. You know, the arts not only enhance our lives, but they communicate for us as well. And what they communicate depends on the diversity of the artists involved. And as for large institutions, I mean, as you know, I work on the Concert of Colors. We have 24 major institutions that are part of that coalition as well, as a coalition of the communities of color. So I think they can collaborate together to improve the situation for everybody.
What makes you passionate about small to mid-sized arts and culture groups in the Detroit ecosystem? And please feel free to name check anybody who really you feel really is doing an amazing job.
Well, there's all kinds of small and mid-sized organizations that do really great work and really great quality of work. The Mosaic Singers are a good example. Inside Out Poetry Group is a really good example of that. The Scarab Club is a really good example. I can go on for an hour. And then there are the individuals who essentially function as organizations, people like Osvaldo Rivera, who, you know, is responsible for a salsa band, a Risha group. And in the 80s, we lost a lot of mid-sized arts organizations and have not replaced them. The Children's Museum, Casa de Unidad, the only Latino museum in the city, and many, many others. The Festival of the Arts. And all of those brought money and intelligence to the community. And we really really need to invest back in them. I know the city is struggling still financially, and the region is struggling financially, but that should be our aim.
You know, one of the other hot topics in art circles is the question of operating support. It's kind of a third rail. Operating support, meaning to say the money that organizations use for day-to-day stuff like paying their leases and paying their bills and sometimes even paying their employees. A lot of philanthropic and public donors don't want to give operating support because they feel like they want arts groups to stand on their own. But it's been such a time of need. And I just wonder, do you think that the National Council for the Arts and the NEA have a place to set up that conversation or maybe, you know, maybe push this issue to the forefront? I know that some institutions like the Ford Foundation are already rethinking operating support. What do you think? Is it time to revisit this?
Well, it's key to a lot of these. And a lot of the bigger foundations have already begun doing that. Ford is a good example, although they still have a bit more work to get to ground level, and Kresge and Knight as well. But the truth is there's not enough foundation money out there to really change the ground and to provide the kind of basic support that provides for individual artists to make the progress that they need to do. It's a conversation that has to take place, and I think will take place, not only at the NEA, but, you know, I think in the foundation community, and continues to take place in the arts community. One of the groups I really have a lot of respect for is Culture Source, who is a coalition of 152 arts organizations in Southeast Michigan. You know, one of the reasons I think foundations don't fund a lot of the smaller organizations is that it takes time and money and energy. And if you're doing a lot of that with small amounts of money, it's very difficult. And so intermediary organizations that can play a leadership role, both doing that and lobbying for more state and federal money, et cetera, are really important.
Ishmael, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Concert of Colors, which is coming back in August in Detroit. 29th year, I believe?
Yep, 29th year, almost three decades.
How's the planning going for a year of return with some events happening in person?
Oh, we're headed for execution. Planning is long over. We'll be broadcast by WTVS, Detroit Public Television in the region, and WDET will also be broadcasting the majority of the Concert of Colors. And also in Dayton, Ohio, WYSO is also going to be doing some of the broadcasting as well. And we have, just a plethora of bands from all over the world. We figured out that if we were going to be virtual, we could have people shoot in their own countries. So we have like Daka Braka from the Ukraine.
Oh, they're amazing.
And Ram, a band out of Haiti, shooting in Haiti. We have a band in Japan called the Minyo Crusaders shooting. We have Suad Masi, kind of the Patti Smith of the Arab world, shooting in Paris. We have people shooting in Uganda. I can go on, it's a long list. Plus we have Detroit favorites too. Don Was will be back and he will be doing a review that focuses in on the music of George Clinton with a lot of Detroit rockers and funketeers.
Awesome. Well, what kind of mindset are you finding performers in coming out of the pandemic?
They really want to get out there and perform. A lot of them have been hurt terribly by the situation. And we're glad to be able to help provide a small opportunity for a few of them to perform. Melvin Davis is going to be performing with and United Sound, a old Motown musician, and Jessica Care Moore will be sitting in with Roy Ayers and doing her own show at the Charles Wright, and that one will be live. We're also going to do a live stage with a lot of young people in the DSO, right outside of the DSO. They're going to have the Mosaic Singers and Inside Out, and they're going to have a bunch of other young performers. We're hoping to develop a youth stage that continues on with the help of Skillman. So a bunch of things. There's an Afrofuturist thing that's being put together by the Science Gallery. The Scarab Club is doing an exhibit called Hillel Detroit with Arabic music from way back to John Coltrane's use of music. So lots and lots going on. Historical Museum is going to have outdoor show with a techno artist and food trucks. And let me just say, if people want to know the schedule, in 1 week, it will be up and they can go to concertofcolors.com, being one word, concertofcolors, one word, .com.
Ishmael, it is so good to hear your voice. And my heart just like skipped a few beats there knowing that you'd been sick. We're so glad you're doing okay. And
thank you.
Really glad to hear about the work that you're going to be doing with the NCA.
Thank you.
Ishmael Ahmed is a new appointee to President Biden's National Council of the Arts, which advises the NEA. And as you hear, he's still extremely active in art circles in Detroit, perhaps most prominently with the upcoming Concert of Colors in August.